something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is He Said, Ella Dijo, with Eric Winter and Rosalind Sanchez.
Hello, welcome back.
Thank you. Welcome to you, and welcome, He Said, Ella Dijo listeners.
Welcome to me.
Yeah, welcome to you.
That's new. Listen. She's a little rusty, everybody. She's, you know, been traveling, so she's a little off.
I'm a mess.
A little off kilter.
Yes.
We have a great guest today, because you know I have this love-hate relationship with social media. I kind of hate it, but I kind of know we have to do it.
And I love it.
I don't love it like you love it, but I understand how important it is, and I'm actually very intrigued to discuss more and learn more about social media from an Instagram growth coach, Brock Johnson, who I think you follow or you're aware of.
Yes.
This is going to be exciting. He teaches creators and entrepreneurs how to gain followers. And he just knows the ins and outs to everything social media. So this is going to be educational.
He's an Instagram growth coach.
That's what I said.
Oh, you just said that?
I just said that. Where are you at? I told you everybody,
I don't know.
She
I'm
is
a mess.
Rusty.
He got married September 17th.
Well, let's talk to him about it. Let's
bring
him in.
And he's from Southern California, like you.
There you have it. Hey, Brock.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
Good.
Good morning.
Hi. So, good morning.
Sorry we're a little delayed. We were just doing a little intro for you, and I was saying in the intro that, you know, this you're the perfect person to have on the show right now. I have sort of a love-hate with social media. I know I have to do it in my profession. It feels tedious. I get overwhelmed. My wife has more of a love with social media. She's all about it all the time. And you're an expert in this space. I mean, you've built a business around it. So we can't wait to sort of dive into all that and understand where your passion came from with social media and how you learn the ins and outs so well.
Totally. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to be on the show, and I totally get both sides of that coin. I totally understand the love and the love hate relationship with it. I've experienced both. I think I experience both on a daily basis. So I totally get it.
You do a lot of content though. So how do you manage to you? I'm assuming is a full-time job, right? Because I follow you. I've been following you for a while, and you put out a lot of like little, instructions. I don't know how you call them, like these little teasers, tutorials. You do that on a daily basis?
Yeah, pretty much. I would say like one of my goals on my social media is that it's not just education, or excuse me, it's not just entertainment, but it's also education. I want people to be able to learn from my posts and get that real value that they can apply to their own circumstances and their own accounts. But I would say at least one post per day of mine has some sort of education value to it.
Good.
And you come from a family of business-minded people. That's what you studied? You went to college to study business?
Absolutely not. So I went to college to play college football, really. I was raised in a very entrepreneurial family. So I was born and raised with a mom and dad who both owned and operated businesses together. But sitting around the dinner table every night, we weren't talking about business and entrepreneurship. We were talking about football because my dad also played professionally. So did my uncle. My grandpa is a prolific high school football coach. And so growing up, I was a football guy. I had little businesses growing up and I was into that sort of thing, but really football was my passion. And I went to college to play football. So I got a football scholarship, and it was actually because I was a football player that I was more or less forced kind of to start a business, because at least at that time when I was starting out in college, maybe 8 years or so ago, student athletes couldn't get paid for their name, image, and likeness like they can now. Now they can get brand deals, they can do sponsorships. But back when I was in college, I was like just at the cuff where we couldn't quite do that. So really, I could either start my own business or I could get a typical traditional job. But because I was a student athlete, I didn't have the time to get a normal job, you know? So that's really what's forced me basically into starting my own business. And so I launched my first real business when I was about 19 years old as a freshman in college. And really my college experience was so that I could play football, so that I could network and meet all these people and have all these great connections. But most of my business knowledge was acquired either growing up through my parents or through all of the learning and trial and error and right? Everything I went through while I was actually in college.
When you say real business, what do you mean by real business?
Like jumping into it as a full-time
profession. Growing up, I had a bunch of things that like I would call businesses. I had I had my own domain name when I was like 12 years old, and I started this little business where I would charge like my classmates to tie their shoes with like some cool patterns, and like that made money, but great. I wouldn't call that a real business. I was also I was a distributor for a company at one point. I like did reselling at one point. So like little things to make money, but
you know what I thought you said?
Oh my God,
I'm such a dummy. I thought you said real, like not real, like it's a real life. I thought you
like
mean
Instagram. Oh, reels.
Like, oh my I God. Thought you meant like your own real,
I totally
like making reels.
Well, that's part of the conversation. I'm so confused.
I totally get it.
You don't have to defend her, Brock. She just completely went. She was like, huh?
I was like, what? I thought he meant real, like making reels.
He has a real business with reels also on Instagram.
Now that's the real business. Yeah.
Okay, so now I get it.
Is it true that you started with like a Snapchat sort of foundation is how you were building your brand? And then—
Exactly.
So how did you, with the inception of Snapchat, you know, everything was so quick. I didn't do Snapchat, but I know it was like, boom, like 3 second clips and it's gone. What was the business you could build there? I'm just curious, like within 3 seconds, it was just, you were putting out really fun content for those 3 seconds, and then it just grabs followers and so forth and so on?
Yeah, so actually the original REAL, the real business that I started when I was 19, was helping moms keep their teens safe on Snapchat, because back in 2015, 2016, everyone was like really scared. And I should say all the parents were really scared of Snapchat. Yeah. What's going on? Disappearing messages. What's going on the platform? And so my business, the first real business that I had, was basically explaining to parents, here's what's going on Snapchat. Here's what's actually, you know, how to use the app. And here's what your kids are doing on the app. Here's how you can keep them safe. And that business very quickly transitioned into how to use Snapchat for marketing, because essentially I had now taught thousands of parents who were also small business owners, and they were in network marketing and they had their own businesses, and they now knew how to use Snapchat, and I had built my business on Snapchat. So they wanted to know how to do the same. And really, if you think back to this time of 2016, 2015, that era, stories weren't on Instagram yet. Instagram didn't have Instagram stories. Snapchat was the creator of the whole stories idea. Now every platform has stories, but Snapchat started that. And that was really how you grew your following, is you basically created almost like a daily vlog. So the clips, I think they could have been originally up to 15 seconds, and then they expanded them to actually be up to 60 seconds. And you just kind of filmed a daily vlog, very documentary style, like, here's what I'm doing in my life, here's what I'm working on. And that's kind of how you built your following on Snapchat. And then very quickly after that, Instagram was like, oh, this is hot, this is working. Yeah. And so Instagram copied the idea and created Instagram stories. And
my understanding is they wanted to buy Snapchat, right? They wanted to buy Snapchat, Snapchat passed.
They wanted to buy Snapchat.
And then they said, well, we're bigger and stronger, we'll just do it for a day and we'll create stories that land for a day. And then they passed on Snapchat and Instagram kept growing. And Snapchat has kind of fallen off.
But what is more relevant right now, Snapchat or Instagram?
Instagram.
Definitely Instagram.
Yeah, Snapchat,
from most research, Snapchat really isn't being used all that much for marketing anymore. There are a few niche cases. For the most part, the primary demographic of Snapchat is much younger. And those people who are using Snapchat are using it primarily for messaging rather than consuming content.
What I love about your mission is that it's not just, and like, I have no problem with influencers, and you know, someone wants to do a bunch of swimsuit shots, whatever they want to do to bring followings in. You know, people do their own business, you know what I mean? They create a job with that. But you actually are out there educating people on how to build business, whether it's online or just in general. It's impressive in that regard, especially with Snapchat. That was a real fear. Parents worrying about what their kids are seeing, how fast, you know, people could send things, they disappear. This is very hard to monitor and track. So kudos for building up a brand like that.
Thank you.
And now into IG as a coach. So you're explaining that explain to us. I want to know, what's more effective, the reels, the posts, or the stories? Like, what actually draws more?
But before you answer that, how do you become, like, you became an expert at Instagram? Like, how do you become an expert on Instagram, or like Twitter, like X now, or TikTok? Do you have to study, like, do you spend hours of like learning about algorithms and analytics and just figuring out the mind within Instagram?
Absolutely. And I think that there's, you know, the old adage of the 10,000 hour rule, and that's how you become a great basketball player. Mm-hmm. That's how you become a great piano player. That's how you become a great Instagram coach as well. And so even though I blew up on Instagram in 2021, that's when I really started to skyrocket my following and get some sort of notoriety on Instagram. I had been an Instagram coach for probably 4 years before that. Wow. And it's doing exactly what you just said. It's studying the algorithms. It's working with people on a one-on-one basis to figure out what's actually working for them, what doesn't work for them, what can I tell them that's going to help them get the results that they want. I actually ended up working with over 500 people over the first couple years of my business. And so it was so much learning, so much trial and error. I had the knowledge from Snapchat of how stories work. So I already had a good idea of how Instagram stories would work, but the Instagram feed was a totally new beast for me, and using it for business and using it to grow a following and convert those followers into customers, that was totally new. And so it was really 3 or 4 years of practice. And then my account started to really blow up and take off. And then as that's happened, I've gotten some really cool opportunities to actually like work with Meta, work with Instagram, get to actually like have conversations with their staff to really get like directly from the horse's mouth, what's going on here? Like, how does the algorithm work? What is actually being favored on the platform?
So what does really engage followers more? Is it the stories? Is it the posts? Is it the reels? What is for Instagram itself? Or I'm sure it's a combination thereof, but what is in your mind, the number one?
Yeah, so there's really two distinctions here. If your goal is growth, if that is your primary objective, gaining new followers, then it's feed posts. It's absolutely not stories. If you want to grow, stories are a waste of time, because stories, they're only shown to your existing followers. So if your existing followers are the only ones seeing them, then they already follow you. They can't follow you a second time, right? There's no one new discovering your stories. Stories have a huge purpose. Stories are very important. Stories are very important for selling, for building relationships, for building trust, for allowing your followers to get to know you. But if you need to gain followers, if you just need attention on your brand or your business, it's all about the feed posts. And within feed posts, there's kind of the two big categories. There's photos, which is really photos and carousels, which are like the slideshow style posts. So that's one kind. And then the other kind of post is Reels, obviously. Reels was invented in the summer of 2020, I believe it was, or maybe, 2020. So it's been around for a few years now. And initially, Reels were hot. It didn't matter what you posted on Reels. They were going to do great. They were going to reach a ton of people. You were going to grow your following if you were posting Reels. I mean, if at the beginning of 2021, you posted anything on Reels, it was going to do well. But now, 3 years later, there's a lot more competition. Our level of expectations for what makes like a good reel, that has definitely increased. And then probably the biggest factor of all is directly from the CEO of Instagram. He posted, this was actually last summer, he posted this, and he said, you know, I think we went too far with reels and we started making the entire Instagram platform dominated by reels. So we're going to draw that back and we're going to balance out the reach between reels and non-reels. So reels and photos slash carousels are now getting an equal distribution within the algorithm. So for a lot of people, they're actually experiencing better results with photos, with carousels, with non-reels right now than they are with just reels. But there isn't necessarily, whereas, you know, 2 years ago, I might've told you that reels were the best. Now that they're really balanced, it really depends on you, your audience, what kind of content you're making. It's not necessarily like reels are 100% better or vice versa.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know what draws? I've always wondered this. When you go, whether it's a carousel or it's a reel, and it says it's been viewed X number of times, right? Mm-hmm. I know there are plenty of reels that I happen to like, you're scrolling, you see it, and I don't really stay and watch it. Is there a time frame in which it counts as being viewed?
Basically, once the video begins playing, that counts as a view. And it's kind of a confusing distinction, but Instagram doesn't, what they show us, the little triangle, and we all call it views, it's actually plays. And so we think like, oh, I got 100,000 views. Actually, you got 100,000 plays. And so basically that just means the video began playing 100,000 different times. So basically within basically the millisecond that the video begins, it counts. Oh, there's no like, you know, it has to reach 3 seconds for it to count as a view. As soon as it starts playing, it counts.
Can you explain to me, because this is what's crazy and that this is why social media confuses me. Like I have 2.2 million followers and change, right? On Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then I have one post that, okay, so 2.2. So I'm thinking I did this little reel that is going to be very effective, right? So out of 2.2, at least 1.1 should see it. And then when you look, only
50,000,
85,000. Mm-hmm. What about all the other millions? Does it mean that nobody else saw it? Like, why is the reach so minimal compared to your followers?
Yeah. So there's so many factors here. First of all, what you're experiencing is totally normal. I was actually just working with a creator yesterday who has about 15 million followers. And of those 15 million, only 300,000 are what we would call engaged followers. So
why?
Basically, there's so many factors here. So you have 2.2 million followers. I'm guessing you didn't gain those 2.2 million followers in the last week. It's probably been over the course of a few years, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So first of all, think about how many, there's at least a small percentage of those 2.2 million who they don't use Instagram anymore. Their account got hacked. They deleted that account. Maybe they have two accounts and they follow you on both, but they only really use one account. Mm-hmm. Maybe that person, like, they passed away. I mean, there's a certain amount of people who just, they're not on Instagram anymore. So that's a small chunk. Plus, there's more content being posted now than ever before, right? There's more people posting. So there's more competition. And the amount of time that we're spending on our phones, despite what the headlines may say, it's not exponentially increasing. It's not crazy skyrocketing. We're using Instagram pretty much the same amount in 2023 as we were in 2022 and 2021. So the demand is equal, but the supply has just crazily increased. Everyone's posting reels, right? To go back to what I was talking about a minute ago, In 2021, hardly anyone was posting a reel. Now, everyone, including my flipping grandma, is posting reels. So that's
but
just
they
more
all get
competition.
It, though, right? They all get it. So if I have 2.2, this is what I'm confused because they say only 10% of your followers will get this. Is that correct?
I don't think they. I mean, you know the answer better than me, Brock. But I always the algorithm has changed on Instagram in the past year or so. Like I don't see half of the people I follow. I used to see a lot more content. Now. Mm-hmm. I see maybe let's say it's 20, 30 people in the day. And then all of a sudden people I don't follow start popping up as suggestions.
And yeah, that never was a feature before. Definitely one of those factors as well. So not only is there increased competition, yet the demand is the same. There's also more recommendations in the feed. So as I'm scrolling through my home feed, I'm not just seeing the couple hundred people who I follow. I'm also seeing some posts that Instagram is recommending to me. Yeah. I'm also seeing some advertisements that have paid to be on my feed. So basically, there's just so much competition. There's so many other posts to see that it's impossible, quite literally, it's impossible for the average user to see every single post made from the people they follow in a day.
But well, they so, get it though. They get it.
I would say, do they get it? It's kind of like, does the email get delivered to your inbox? Yes, but there's some emails that you never open. Some emails that go right to junk, exactly, that go automatically archived and filtered out as spam. Yeah. There's some emails that you open and you're just like, I don't need it. And you just scroll right past it. So the exact number isn't necessarily 10%. That's kind of the general thing that people will say is like, it gets pushed to 10% of your followers. That's not 100% accurate, but that's a good way to think about it. Is it gets pushed to your post when you share it, gets shown to a small percentage of your followers. If that small percentage does well, like if that small percentage of people, they all like it, they're all commenting, they're all saving, they're sharing it with their friends, they're really spending time with your post and engaging with it, then the algorithm basically says, this is a good post, the people are into it, they like it, and then it will show it to more people, and then basically it starts over. So that next round of people, they basically have a fresh chance. Do they engage? Do they like it? And if they all like it, then it gets shown to more people. And that's basically how a post can continue to grow. But one really interesting factor in all of this is, let's say that initial group, that first 10%, they all like it. They all engage. They all comment. But then that second group, consistently, they don't really like it for whatever reason. Maybe they spent time watching it, but they just didn't comment. They didn't like the post. They didn't actually engage in any way. Well, then over time, the algorithm learns, maybe we shouldn't show her posts to this group because they're not really that interested in it. And so that's how over time, your reach can kind of consistently diminish. And then it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? It feeds into itself. Now you're reaching less people. So you're going to be getting less engagement, which means you're going to be reaching even less people. And then you're just kind of on that downhill spiral.
That's what I've noticed too, just in my own feed. It's like, if I have people, you know, a close friend of ours, I'll pretty much almost always, because they're a close friend, like their stuff. I get more of their content all the time.
Exactly.
And as soon as I stop engaging or liking someone's stuff, I just get less of their content. I've noticed that they're just not in my feed anymore. And if I don't feel like liking many people at all, like you said, the feed just starts to become less and less and less.
What is algorithm for people like me that I use the word all the time, but I don't know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. The algorithm, we overcomplicate it, especially, and I'm saying we as in like us Instagram coaches, we overcomplicate it. The algorithm is simply, it's a math equation that runs Instagram, and its job is to determine, what do people want to see? Do people want to see this post? Do people want to engage with this reel? Do people want to watch this story? That's it. There are multiple. There's a stories algorithm. There's a feed algorithm. There's an explore page algorithm, because people engage with those things differently. But ultimately, it's just a math equation that's looking at, how many likes did you get? In what time? How many comments did you get? How long are the comments? How much time are people spending watching your content? It's taking into account all of these different factors. In fact, there was one leaked report that apparently it's looking at like 50,000 different variables on your post. And basically its job is to just say, is this post good or not? Is this post something that people want to see or not?
I just thought about something great, and you hopefully you'll defend me and this works out in my favor. This could very well backfire. We've talked about it on the podcast because the search page, right? It's random things. And I know some of those things, I tried to explain to her, some of those things are things you engage with. But also my understanding is, per the algorithm, if you have friends that send you content and you click on it because they sent you something, mm-hmm. or who they follow, for example, mm-hmm. their followers and things that they might, if I'm on this one giant chain with a bunch of people, I don't even really know. And yeah. I got added to this chain and I get so much stuff. I mean, it couldn't be more.
It's not an Instagram chain, it's a text chain.
It's an Instagram, it's a DM chain of like 30 people. And they send all these random videos from, it couldn't be more opposite, right? And so that mm-hmm. affects the search, in my opinion. She was like, that's nonsense. There's a girl with a bikini, da da da. I said, well.
No, Brock, okay. If you go to my search, listen to me. If you go to my search stuff, right? There's everything. There's different podcasts. There's a lot of things about makeup or fashion or like spirituality, like things that I follow, right? His search, right? If I go to the little search thing, it's all bikinis
that's
and
not
models.
True. That's all.
99%. And I'm like, who the heck are you searching?
There's a lot of women that
because
come
this
up.
This is a joke.
There's a lot of sports that come up. There's bodybuilding that comes up.
So he's blaming everybody, no, but he's
there's
he,
animals
he searches.
Attacking animals on safaris. Oh there's like God. Random things, right? That just come up. And I'm trying to explain to her, it's not just like I don't follow those people. And it's not mm-hmm. that I'm searching.
Well, you're searching.
People. No, it can literally be my friends sending something or being on a chain like that. Right or wrong, Brock?
So now,
tell me now
I know why I'm here. I know why you guys invited me on the show.
Please tell me I'm right, Brock.
No, so...
You're not.
So unfortunately, you are correct. Or maybe I should say, fortunately, you are correct.
Yes, Brock, thank
and
you.
Actually, this is a great point. This is a great segue into this topic. And this is really the distinction between the Instagram algorithm and the TikTok algorithm. So on Instagram, they have what's called a social-based algorithm. They are definitely looking at what are you searching for? What are you commenting on? What are you following and engaging? But Instagram, because of its roots in Facebook, because of its early days being created by Facebook, it very much cares about your social network. It cares about what are your friends into? What are your friends watching? What are your friends sending you? Who do you follow? Like I have my wife, for example. So I'm always interacting with her. We're always sending each other things. So my algorithm very much is looking at what is she into? What is she looking at? What is she searching for? Maybe we should show those things to Brock as well. That's very true because Instagram has a social algorithm. So absolutely, you could very well be seeing things on your explore page because they're sent at a massive amount, like in some random group chat that you're a part of. TikTok, on the other hand, has what's called a purely content-driven algorithm. TikTok doesn't really care what your friends are watching. TikTok doesn't really care what's being sent to you. TikTok cares pretty much above all else, what are you watching? What are you engaging with? So if you really want to get a clue as to what people are into, scroll through their TikTok feed and then you'll start to see, okay, here's the kinds of videos that they're watching and that they're engaging with, because that's really all that TikTok cares about. And not to go too much on a tangent, but that's why a lot of people really prefer the TikTok For You page and really say that the TikTok feed is more enjoyable to scroll through because it's all about you. It's all about what have you liked, what have you engaged with, not necessarily what have your friends been into in the last couple of weeks.
I'll send you the check later, Brock. Thank you for doing that.
Oh my God, whatever. whatever. Anyways,
so
I have a question. Do you coach people regarding TikTok as well or just Instagram?
So I don't coach on TikTok. I blew up on TikTok in like 2019. So before everyone got on TikTok, I got over there and I was like, I'm just going to make some videos. But it's kind of a double-edged sword. Catch-22 is I blew up for the wrong reasons, not like anything bad.
Why?
I blew up because I was dancing and I was in my college football locker room dancing and I had like my pads on. And so people thought that was really funny. And I love to dance. I love to be silly and goofy. And that's definitely a part of who I am, but that's not my business. That's not what I teach people. And that's not what I do. So I blew up in the early days of TikTok. I got like 300,000 followers in like a week because of some dancing videos. But a year later, I had graduated. I'm not playing college football. It'd be very weird if I just walked into the locker room and started filming myself dancing, right? And so now I have 300,000 followers who they follow me, but I can't give them what they ask for. I can't deliver on what they followed me for in the first place. And that's not my business, right? I'm not going to teach them dance lessons. I'm not going to do paid partnerships with dance studios or anything like that. So actually, I've recently restarted on TikTok and started over from zero and kind of made the decision to ultimately let that account with 300,000 followers, let it go, because I know that those 300,000 followers, they're not ideal for me. They're not my ideal customer. They're not my ideal avatar. They're not within my niche. And so even though it might look really cool to be like, I have 300,000 followers, it's worthless if they're not following me for the right reasons.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you explain, this is about TikTok, a post having 8.2 million and then a week later you do another post and it gets 12,000.
It goes back to what I was talking about that content driven algorithm. So on Instagram, because it's such a social driven algorithm, Instagram says, oh, well, hey, you liked this post from this creator a week ago and you follow this person. So we're going to make sure that you see their new post. But on TikTok, they don't really care that you liked this person's post a week ago or that you follow this person. They just care, do you like this kind of content? Do you enjoy this post? And so if you have a post that gets 8 million views on TikTok, the likelihood that someone sees your next post doesn't necessarily increase all that much unless it's the exact same kind of content. Wow. And the exact same quality of content.
That's crazy.
So to go viral, that's, I guess on TikTok, going viral is very different than going viral on Instagram. Different reasons. It's probably harder to go viral.
And that's why so many people go viral on TikTok, is because it's just about the content, right? So it doesn't matter if you have 300,000 or if you have 300 followers. If you make content that the people are into, they're going to see it.
Got it. So here's my question. And I don't want to, you know, beat you up with too many questions. I apologize. How do we grow? Because I don't want to be buying followers, right? I know that's a big thing. People buy followers. In our business, followers definitely reflect on jobs that we are going to get. And we have good following, a good, foundation. But if I want to grow followers more, and I'm terrible, I don't post regularly. I post when I feel guilty. I'm like, oh, I need to post something. I haven't posted in a week. Like that, my last post is a week ago, I think. And I know that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Is that the main problem? Is like, if I just post more frequently, reasonable content, I also don't post a lot of myself. Which is weird. Like I don't just do selfies and talk to it. I don't do that a lot. I might be a photo of me with the kids or me out doing, or that's something else. Are those two problems that I have?
Those are definitely two problems. And I would say that consistency is definitely a part of it, but I wouldn't say it's the whole thing. It might not even necessarily be the biggest problem. Really, step one for growing on Instagram is the same as step one for growing a podcast, the same as step one for growing on YouTube, on TikTok, wherever. And that's to really identify who is your target market, who is your niche, who is your ideal follower, and like all the way down, get nitty gritty with all of the demographics, the age group. Who do you want to be following you? That's step one. Because what a lot of people do is they jump into posting, they start posting like crazy, but they're not really specifically targeting any group of people. They're not trying to attract any kind of follower. They're just like, I'm just going to post whatever and hope people show up. And that's not going to work, right? Let's think about every major business that's blown up recently. Every major business that's blown up in the last 20 years, every successful business started with a niche. Even the biggest of the big, like Amazon, they got started with a very specific demographic, a very specific niche that they were focused on. So that's step one.
Yeah. Okay.
And then step two is we have to really make sure that our profile is set up correctly. Like we need to make sure that our profile articulates our niche, that it clearly defines why someone should follow us, and really what sets us apart from everyone else on Instagram, especially everyone else who might do exactly what we do. So that's step two. And then step three is the posting. So when it comes to actually posting, yes, that's, like I said earlier, that's how you're going to reach the new followers. If we don't have the foundation laid, it's a waste. It's like building a house on quicksand. Once we have that foundation laid, then it gets to the consistency. And people hate when I say this, but it is factually true. And it is that the more you post, the more you grow. There was a great study done a few years ago, and another study that just came out in the last few months that confirmed this, that there's a direct correlation between the amount of posts you make and the growth that you have. Now, of course, there are asterisks, like the posts have to be quality. The posts have to be related to your niche. You can't just post crap. You can't just post random things. You can't just post a bunch of selfies. As long as you have a quality post that relates to your niche or that somehow connects with your ideal follower, it is true that the more you post, the more you can increase that frequency of consistency, the more your growth rate will increase as well.
I have two questions. Is it true that the more you engage with your audience, right? Like I post something and then there's all these comments. If I reply or if I like with the heart, whatever they said, is it true that that brings more engagement?
Yes, it does. I wouldn't say that's like make or break, do or die. You're okay if you don't do those things. But also let's think about on a bigger picture here. Social media, yes, it's about the numbers. How many followers do you have? Did you go viral? But ultimately, what we're all really after is like a community of super fans, a community of customers, a community of people who really trust us. They know us, they like us. And the best way to do that is by being social back with them. So engaging with them, thanking them, responding to their comments, like bigger than the algorithm here. That's just human nature, how we're going to connect with people. And so, yes, algorithmically, it does slightly increase your engagement and it does increase the likelihood that they're shown your next post if you are engaging with them on this post, but also just on a human being level, people really appreciate that and people really are going to seek out your posts and come back to your posts if they had such a positive experience the last time they left a comment.
The boost post, when you pay, mm-hmm. whatever, I'm going to pay $15 over the $5 a day to boost a post. And it tells you that it's going to grow this amount. I have never found that to be true. Why is that? That you put money to boost a post and then you get 3,000 more people? You know, it's like, why is that?
Yeah, well, it's not an exact thing. And there's a few different things we can talk about with boosting posts. I generally say don't boost a post unless it's already done well. If it's already performed well and people already like it, then you can boost it, right? Because then the people have already told you this is good. Yeah, so then you can boost it so it reaches more people. But what I see a lot of people doing is they're like, this post didn't do well, so I'm going to boost it so that it reaches more people. Well, essentially, you've just taken a movie that wasn't a very good movie and you forced more people to sit down and watch the movie. Of course, they're not going to like it and they're going to unfollow you or they're not going to engage or they're not going to seek out your future posts. In terms of like how many people does it reach, it's never an exact science. Instagram can't necessarily promise that X number of people will see it. They usually try to give you like a range. Hey, if you spend $5 a day, you can reach between 10,000 and 30,000 people. It's usually on the lower end of that estimate, unless the post just does really well. If the post like starts to blow up and people really like it, then Instagram will show it to more people. But for most people, I usually don't recommend boosting posts because it's just not that necessary.
This is fascinating.
I have one more question.
Fascinating.
So you start a business. Let's say somebody's going to start a podcast or somebody's going to start a clothing line or whatever business, right? And they hire you to help them with the social media awareness. What is that going to entail? You're going to do all the research about this is your demo. This is the kind of content you should be doing. Like, what do you do exactly to amplify that business?
Yeah. So we really have two options. We have one, I say we, because I actually do almost all of this with my mom. Sounds funny to say that, but she actually has more followers than me on Instagram. A lot of people know who she is more than they know who I am. She grew her following way before I did. But she has a background in marketing. I mentioned it earlier that, you know, my entire life, her and my dad have owned and bought and sold businesses. So she has a background in marketing and entrepreneurship. And together we have this membership where we teach you everything you need to know. We give you like the step-by-step lessons, but it's more of a done for yourself. Like you have to do it yourself type of thing. We're going to give you the outline. We're going to give you the structure. We're going to give you the ideas and the templates and the trainings, but ultimately it's on you to pull the trigger. That's different than someone who's working like one-on-one with me, which in all honesty, I do very few of now. You know, I did, like I mentioned earlier, I did like 500 coaching sessions early in my career, worked with a bunch of people. Now I do very few. I really only take like one new client a month just because I can help a lot more people and teach a lot more people through my content on social media and through my course, my membership that I run with my mom. We can just help a lot more people in a lot less time. It's a lot less demanding on me. But with my one-on-one clients, it's really the step one, two, and three that I gave you a minute ago. We start with the niche, and I do not pick their niche for them because ultimately that's something you have to pick for yourself. And there isn't really a right or wrong answer. It's just whatever you want it to be, whatever you choose your demographic to be. There's plenty of niches out there in the world, plenty of demographics of people who are ready, who want content, who want to be served, who want to be educated. So I help them figure out what that is, but I don't pick it for them. And then from there, then we start the hard work of really refining the profile, making sure that it's going to stand out, making sure that it's going to clearly articulate what it is they're posting about. And then the hardest work of all is the consistency with the posting, the coming up with ideas, the editing, the scripting, the actually posting every single day and staying consistent. That's the real tough work.
It's a lot of work.
It's
like,
that's why I get so much anxiety about it.
You get anxiety.
I get anxiety about it.
I know.
But this has been very educational. I really appreciate your time. And for people who want, our listeners who want to learn more or engage on that side of you helping them, do they just reach out on your IG? Is that the easiest way?
That's the best place. Yeah. Brock11Johnson, hit me up on Instagram. I respond to pretty much all of my direct messages. I also have a team member who helps me with responding to messages. But if you shoot me a DM on Instagram, there's like a 99% chance you're going to get a response.
That's awesome. Beautiful. Brock, thank you for your time,
for your
education, and for having my back. Let me tell you, Brock.
You're welcome. I look forward to that check coming in the mail. I really appreciate you both for having me on the show.
All right, take care.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This was amazing.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
It's a lot of info.
There's a lot of info, but I feel, listen, that's the kind of Instagram business I truly respect. Like that's incredible. He's helping people understand it. He's helping build, producing sort of a real business, right? It's not just a vanity sort of thing. If there's something there, a lot of good substance.
You need to follow him. His posts
are
very educational. He guides you through everything, like what works, what doesn't work, hashtags, like what's in, what's out, what you should do, what you shouldn't be doing. No. It's a lot of content. But I believe people that wanna monetize, their social media awareness and you can actually do really good business if you understand how to play the game. That's the problem. It's like, I have all these followers and I love posting and I love feeling that sense of community because I have fans that are like hardcore fans and they're so lovely and mm-hmm. supportive and it means the world to me and to people like us, because we're creatives and we feed off that, mm-hmm. we want people to be like, oh, they appreciate what we're doing. And I would love to answer to every single one of them. It's just a lot. And I don't have time to go through every single post and say thank you or try to engage. But maybe I should start and being, instead of just posting about, oh, look at this project and look at this and look at that, I should just maybe be more open and more reachable when it comes to just talking to them. Just talking to them, doing videos about
That's
talking to
do.
Them.
I don't often talk on Instagram, on the video. I don't do that a lot. And I need to engage more 100%. And you know what? It's been a week since my last post. I think I need to post probably today. This is the motivation.
What are you
going to
post today?
I don't know.
I cannot wait.
Swimsuit pic, something at the pool.
Please do.
Just kidding. I have no idea.
Please do that.
No, definitely
you should
not.
Do that.
Definitely not.
It'll blow up.
No, definitely not.
Come on. I'll do the photo shoot.
Okay.
Let's go home.
Yeah.
And let's create, what I'm going to do that now. Let's create a really cool three changes of really cool poses and let's just put it out there and see what's going to happen.
Well, I don't know if that photo shoot's going to be happening today, but I want to make sure our listeners know that don't forget, you can now listen to He Said Ella Dijo on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcast.
It's available now on Amazon Music.
That's right.
Ahora mismito.
Claro que sí.
Qué bueno. I cannot wait.
Bye. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to write us a review and tell us what you think.
If you want to follow us on Instagram, check us out at He Said Ella Dijo or send us an email, ericandross@iheartradio.com. He Said Ella Dijo is part of iHeartRadio's My Cultura podcast network.
See you next time.
Bye.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.